I'm finding more and more that as I'm connecting with the people of God, meaning the children of Israel, Jewish people, there are times, the seasons that God has had them in, that we're, I'm seeing more and more how God has been leading us prophetically as well. I was reading, I'm going to be reading and quoting today from a Jewish website called Shabbat.org, and it's part of a mainstream movement that started really back in the 20th century to help Jewish people. It kind of reveals their Jewish calendar, getting them back to their Jewish customs and some of their traditions, really all of their traditions. And this article I came across on this website is called "What is Shemitah?" And basically it's the sabbatical year, which requires the release from loans, to stop working the field, and to begin to focus your life for that entire year on the spiritual, on really to understand the spiritual heritage that they have as a people, to really focus all of their energy getting back to God's purpose and will for our lives. So just like, you know, on the seventh day is considered the Sabbath, they actually had a seventh year that was to be kept holy to the Lord. So the Shemitah, or the sabbatical year, is a year devoted to strengthening your bond with God. Isn't that amazing? Take a whole year and do nothing but focus on God. To really get your faith built up in really understanding God's, how the writer put it, he said, in God's omnipotence. Omnipotence is God is all powerful. It means, and it also means all potential. All potential is in God. All power is in God. Remember back in physics when they talked about potential energy and kinetic energy? I go flashback and all that stuff. Kinetic energy was all potential. So all potential is in God and all power is in God. And it's to take a whole year to focus on God's omnipotence. Really getting our hearts to understand, God, you really can do anything. And imagine taking an entire year doing nothing but studying and working on that. And that's what God's people were required to do. Every 7 years, stop all the work, release people from their debt so that they don't have to work. And everybody take this whole year and get back to the reason why I gave you life and breath. Woo! Ain't that something? Well, guess what, y'all? We are currently in the year 5775, according to the Jewish calendar, and it is a Shemitah year. It started back on September the 25th of 2014, right at our church anniversary. So our church anniversary marked the start of a Shemitah. Stop everything. Do nothing but focus on God. Wow. I can tell by the looks of your faces that you're going, really? Oh my God, do you realize what we've been walking in and what God has really called us to? It's also called a year of faith. That's one of the terms that's used because of what we're called to do in a Shemitah year. So let's just pray like we always do. Lord, I pray that the word today would find good soil in my heart. I reject the thoughts of offense. Where the light of your word exposes my sin, I do not take offense. I will change and turn to you, my heavenly Father. I reject condemnation. Your word says that Jesus did not come to condemn people. This word does not come to condemn me, but it comes to heal me. I reject accusation. Satan is the accuser of brothers and sisters, and this word does not come to accuse me or abuse me. This word exposes Satan and his lies, and I choose to believe and receive the truth. God says in his word, blessed are my eyes, for they see, and my ears, for they hear. For many prophets and righteous men desired to see what I see and did not see it, and to hear what I hear and did not hear it. Therefore, I will hide your word in my heart, that I might not sin against or miss the will of God. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your word today. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In this moment, Lord, Chris Green decreases that you would increase. Help me, Lord God, by your spirit to get across to those present in the room as well as those who will watch this online or listen to this by way of podcast, that you are calling us into a Shemitah life. Not just once a week on Sunday, not just every 7 years, but you're calling us into a Shemitah life. And we accept and receive that calling in Jesus' name. Amen. According to Jewish history, as soon as the Jews settled in the Holy Land, they began to count and observe the 7 year cycle that the Lord had told them. And so every cycle would culminate, obviously, in a sabbatical year. And the word Shemitah literally means to release. The year, if you were to follow the Jewish calendar and the way the Jewish calendar is viewed, they view it as this is the calendar of creation. So unlike Western civilization, which believes that our earth is millions of years old, you know, and all of that, the Jewish calendar says this is the calendar of creation, that our world is actually 5,775 years old. And we are in year 5775, and it is a Shemitah year. The observance of Shemitah had several dimensions in it, and I want to just quickly show you how it was viewed, what was expected, and how it applies to our life. The first dimension, I call it the first requirement as our act of faith, since it's considered a year in faith. The first thing was to release others. I like the way this writer put it. He said, give your friend a break. It comes from Deuteronomy 15, verses 1 and 2, which says, at the end of 7 years, the Lord speaking, you will make a release. And this is the manner of the release, to release the hand of every creditor from what he lent his friend. He shall not exact from his friend or his brother, because the time of the release of the Lord has arrived. So interestingly enough, you'll see that when God says there's to be a release, that he's telling us to release one another. I especially address this because here in America, every time we hear words about release, we always go into selfish mode and think it's about us being released from something. But no, this is about us releasing other people. I know you won't hear this on some of the Christian TV networks, because every time you hear about Shemitah or the year of Jubilee, it's always about us. But it's about us from the standpoint of us releasing other people so that they can serve God with a whole heart and not have this heavy debt or weight on them. Remember, the purpose of the Shemitah is so people can be released to focus on God. It's pretty difficult to focus on God if you still got debt hanging all over you. So somebody has to release you so that you can focus. So the issue is, we must release others. Wow. I'm bringing you into, or I'm talking about, the more mature way of approaching the Word of God. And maybe that's part of the reason why ministries like ours remain small, because it's God requiring of us and demanding of us that we bring the church into a new level of maturity. It's children that still only approach the Word of God in terms of what I can get and how this benefits me. When you put away childish things, and every mother in the room knows what I'm talking about, and those of you that watch online, when you move into adulthood, all the focus on me changes. When you have that first baby, In fact, as soon as you find out you're pregnant, your whole perspective on life drastically changes. There's no more focusing on me. Yeah. And so God, I believe, is requiring of his bride in this hour to come on into maturity. This is not just about you being adorned and looking beautiful and having all these things lavished upon you. There was a time we needed that message. It was a necessary message for the church. But we want to stay there. We want to stay at the altar with our husband, adorned in the beautiful bride gown, but we don't want to move into life. Into life where there's responsibility and there's pregnancy and there's birth and there's taking care of somebody else other than myself. Yeah. Boy, Pastor Chris, how'd you get all that out of Smita? Because Smita means release. And it's not about stuff being released on us so that we can do what we want. No, it's about me releasing others so that they can now focus on God. Wow, isn't that great? The Smita year waives all outstanding debt. The Smita year waives. Nowadays, they've got a mechanism in place that kind of circumvents the loan amnesty part. That's part of Israel's history. There's a lot of stuff that they, through the years, have put in place to circumvent the word of God. Sort of like us Protestants and Christians. We got there's a lot of things that God's word says, but with our beliefs and doctrines and religion, we get around that stuff. It's the kind of thing that Jesus was talking to the religious folks in their day. He said, there are certain things that my Father has required of you, but because of your traditions, you work around what my daddy said. I told you to honor your mother and father, but you say, no, everything that I got, it belongs, it's dedicated to God. I said, you're supposed to be taking care of your parents. Yeah, but all that money and those resources belong to God. See, you use your traditions to get around what I said do. Yeah. And so they have some of that today. They're supposed to be releasing people, but they kind of put some things in place to get around them. You know, because God, we got an economy to keep up with. We got things, you know, I got bills to pay myself. And just because I'll release somebody from their debt don't mean that my creditor is going to release me from my debt. So I ain't going to release nobody until they release me first. When I get released, then I'll do the release. So everybody sits around waiting for somebody to do the releasing first. Nobody ever releases anybody. Sort of like what goes on in the church. I'll forgive you if you forgive me. Well, you know, I'll release you after I see that you really mean it first. Then I'll release you. See, that don't work. That's why I said this is about more than just a 7-year cycle. God's calling us into a Shemitah lifestyle. I'm always releasing people. Yeah. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. And after Jesus told the parable of the guy who was released from a whole lot of money, who then turned around and held somebody who owed him just a little bit, then we see God's perspective that I don't care how much somebody owes you, it doesn't even compare to what we owe God. We never have the right to hold somebody in debt. And so God put in an actual practical system in place for his people. They say, on this every 7 years, you let people go. Because something's going to happen to them when you let people go. One of the main things that's going to happen is going to free them to focus on me. Wow. Woo! I didn't know I would say all of this today. I was supposed to just read through this real fast and just keep running. It never goes that way, does it? So even though modern American Christianity places emphasis on having our debts released, the focus was supposed to be on releasing others from whatever they owe us. Since most of us are not lenders and most of us are borrowers, let's be honest here, Americans, the main way we can observe this is through the forgiveness of transgressions and offenses. Now, for those of us that do have folks that owe us some money, this is a year to consciously and intentionally release all debt. But Pastor Chris, you don't know how much they owe me. If someone does owe you money, let it go. Cancel the debt. Here's the word of God. Cancel the debt. Why? Why? Because God's trying to get their attention. Isn't it amazing how God uses his people to speak to people? We keep telling God, God, do this. God, do that. Remember those prayers? God, go over into the hospital, Lord, and touch some. God, go to the jail, Lord, and go to, you know, Lord, there's some poor people in our city. God, go and feed them, Lord. No, no. It doesn't work that way. God told us to owe nobody nothing except for love. You'll find that in Romans 13, verses 8 through 10. Owe no one anything except to love one another. Wow. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. That's a profound statement for Paul to write, talking to the Christians in Rome. Don't owe anybody anything except for love. And when you do that, you fulfill the law. Woo! Isn't that amazing? The next step of faith was to take a break from farming. The word of the Lord from Leviticus 25, verses 3 through 6, it says, for 6 years you shall sow your field, and for 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in its produce. But in the seventh year, the land shall have a complete rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall not sow your field. You shall not prune your vineyard, nor shall you reap the aftergrowth of your harvest. Meaning, when you go into that seventh year, whatever is still growing and it becomes ripe during that year, you're not to harvest it. And the produce of the Sabbath of the land shall be yours to eat for you, for your male and female servants, and for your hired worker and resident who live with you. In other words, all that stuff that's still growing, that carried over into that seventh year, you got to let everybody partake of it. Wow. Just thinking about it. Wait a minute. I can't take it and sell it? No, you got to let everybody have it. The folks who, you know, because a lot of them, they had hired workers and everything, so you let them have it. Wow. During the Shemitah year, the residents of the land of Israel must completely stop cultivating their fields, the writer said. They also relinquish personal ownership of their field for that year. Whatever produce grows on its own is considered communal property. You can see why this would get real hard to do, especially you get people like, I've been working this. I've been working on this, slaving on this, and now it's for everybody. It's for everybody. Why? What was God trying to get his people to see? What was he trying to get them to understand? He's trying to get them in already into kingdom mentality, understanding our Father. Remember when Jesus gave the parable of the two sons? One son left. But the other son that stayed kept working the field. And then when his other younger brother returned, he was all upset because they were celebrating and everything. And, you know, Dad, you never even killed. You didn't do nothing for me. You didn't give me no party. And I've been working and I've been faithful. And what was his dad's answer? All that I have is yours. It's always been yours. So since the parable, we always think the parable is about the two sons, but it's actually about the father, because the parable opens with Jesus saying, a certain man had two sons. So we think of that parable as being about the sons, but the parable is about the father. A father who says to his son who's upset with his younger brother for being wasteful, this father says, all that I have is yours. So here's on the seventh year, God was trying to get his people to see that's the Father's heart. And I want you to experience the Father's heart. All this land that you have worked and is produced, now open it up for everybody. That's my daddy's heart. I want you to experience my daddy's heart. We say those words a lot of times, and I'm guilty of it myself. My life, we just sung it today. My life is not my own. To you I belong. What did we say? I give myself to you. I give myself away. We just sung it today, and here it is, Yurdus Mita. I give myself away so you can use me. Shemitah, a year of release. I release myself to you. I release people that owe me. And every part of my land, which is my life, the produce of my life, I give it away. The fruit of my life, I give it away. This is all about moving into a new level of trust in God. This means no hoarding, no storing up for ourselves during a year in which we're not going to be sowing. This is a year of giving to others. All that's produced in the Shemitah year belongs to everyone, not just ourselves. Then the last part of that step of faith was to refocus their lives on the purpose and will of God. The nation collectively, the writer says, the nation collectively took a breather and focused on higher, more spiritual pursuits. In the ancient Israeli agricultural culture, the Shemitah year proved to be a difficult challenge for the people's collective trust in God. The same God who told them that this is the land of milk and honey. Now he's telling you to, all this milk and honey and blessings I've given to you, share it with everybody, focus on me. They had a hard time with that, this writer said. And he points us to Leviticus 25, verses 20, where God says, "And if you should say, what will we eat in the seventh year? We will not sow and we will not gather in our produce." But here's God's answer. You find it in verses 21 through 22. He says, "I," meaning God, "will command my blessing for you in the sixth year. And it," what it? "The sixth year. The sixth year will yield produce for 3 years." See, God ain't crazy. We got to trust God. That since you're telling me, you're bringing me into this season where you're going to require of me to give away and to live in this freedom, then you're going to have to produce for me, God. Could it be that that's what God's been getting Urban Life ready for? He's going to, this is where many people, God's people, mess up here in America. We'll hear that God's going to bless us. You're going to get 3 times more in 1 year. But what is God saying? Here is, now look at the rest of how he told them how to handle this 3 times more yield. He says, "And you will sow in the eighth year," meaning at the seventh year, you won't do anything, "while still eating from the old crops." In other words, I caused you to produce 3 times more in the year 6 so that you don't have to do anything in year 7. You'll be able to continue eating on it in year 8 when it's time for you to start sowing again. And because it's going to last you 3 years, even when year 9 comes in, you'll still be eating from the old crop while you're starting to benefit from what you produced in year 8, what you were sowing in year 8. In other words, don't be wasteful. Do not be wasteful. So God's really helping us, I believe, here in the American church to start. Let's get things in perspective. When God gives us blessing, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, then he expects us to manage it right, to manage it well. As well as giving the people the opportunity to put their faith in God, and see it fulfilled. The year-long abstention from farming, a whole year of not farming, also allowed them to collectively take a breather. Can you imagine having a year vacation and do nothing but focus on higher, more spiritual pursuits as the people packed the synagogues and study halls for an entire year? I wonder if God could even trust the church in America to do that. Could I bless you so much in your personal lives that you could take a year off from your job and you would do nothing but focus on me and serve me, serve the community, give? Could God trust the church in America to do that? Y'all just think about that. God, triple my salary and my income in 1 year so that the next year I could give everything. Do nothing but be a blessing to my family, my church, my community. Can God, could God really trust us? But we see God's heart. This is what he wants to entrust us with. He wants to so bless us that we could do that, we would be faithful to live a Shemitah life. Wow. I'm saying right now, I don't want this message to come across as condemnation, but I want you to see it is from Father's heart. He's saying, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. I know a lot of times even a message like this comes across as condemnation, but this isn't condemnation. This is, Lord, open up our hearts so we can see, oh, this is what you want to do with us. This is why you want that level of blessing to come to us. You want to trust us to be a Shemitah type people. Wow, that we ain't going to take the money and run. Take the blessings and I'm gone. Now, this writer goes on to say that during the holy year, he's writing to Jewish people. He said, we are expected to concentrate more on our spiritual mission in life and a little less on material pursuits. This is a rabbi writing to Jewish people. And he says, more on why we are needed. We're to focus on why we are needed and less on what we need. We're to focus on why we are needed and less on what we need. I'm saying, God, oh, I want to be that way. I want our church family to be ones that you could trust us, that you could so bless us that we would fulfill the Shemitah requirement. God wants us to spend less time on having faith in our own talents and our own skills and more faith in God. And then I made this final little note here for us. God has taken us literally into a Shemitah, me and Carol. Having come off our jobs, just think about what's happened to us, y'all. Now put this in perspective of what he's literally doing to your pastors. Our jobs have come to an end, and we must now live off of the produce of the years. Because we were paying into the retirement system and all of that, and guess what? Me and Carol are now living off of the produce of those years. So that we can do nothing but focus on what he is requiring of us in our lives. We are literally, and we had no idea. We had no idea that when we had the church anniversary was the start of the Shemitah. And that, what, 5-6 months in, God would say, all right, job's over, trust me. Well, obviously, you guys, when I came across this, I was like, God, you gotta be kidding me. We must trust him that the produce of the previous years will carry us through these years. We got to trust him. I just find it funny how God keeps requiring of us to not just preach and teach these things. He keeps making us live it in front of everybody. I guess he's answering somebody's prayer who said, God, here in Harrisburg, we want to see some pastors that really live it. Thanks, guys. No more talking about it. We want you to live it. And don't come in every week raising no offering, trying to make us carry you through. We ain't changing nothing. We have to trust God. In fact, I don't believe in preaching something that we ain't living. If stuff ain't working, that was part of the reason why we was considering quitting, because to us, if it ain't working, I'm not going to be a pretender. I'm not going to pretend. Our wanting to quit wasn't just discouragement. It was also because I do not believe in pretending. And if something ain't working, then why are we doing this? I have nothing to prove to anybody here in Harrisburg. So let's just stop. But God's got something to prove. And all he's looking for is some Shemitah people who he can bless and know that when I bless you, you are going to focus on me. You're going to release people. You're going to focus your life on me. You're going to let people live from the produce of your life. Wow. God told us not to do any new teaching. Remember when we started this year, I said, God told us don't do any new teaching this year, to go back and rehearse all of the words and the lessons and the messages that he had been giving us. Little did I know that that is the exact pattern of the Shemitah. In other words, he told them, eat the old crops. God, you really had us on target. Go back, eat the old crops. Now, why is that sometimes difficult for us in America? Because in America, we always want something new. Give me the new, the newest revelation, the hottest thing, the latest. And God said, no, Shemitah people got to be willing and able to go back to the old crops. We think of it as old, but it's a miraculous crop. Go back to the miraculous and keep repeating it. So we didn't know we were operating in it when the Lord told us, go back, read the books all over again, preach the sermons, go back to the old sermons that I told you, reteach them, do it again, go through it all over again. We had no idea. God said, that's what you do in Shemitah season. You go back to the old crops and you eat off of that. I ain't giving you nothing new. I ain't giving you nothing spectacular. I want you to go back and you repeat what I've done, what I've been doing, rehearse it, live it all over again. Bless the Lord our God. So I'm just saying, yes, Lord. Come on, y'all join me. Say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord God. So Shemitah is eating the old crops. So just kind of as a review, the Shemitah year waives all outstanding debts. We release others. It's about relinquishing ownership of your land, basically meaning opening your life and sharing your produce. Open your land for anybody to partake of it freely. And the last one was take a breather and refocus on higher, more spiritual pursuits. Eat of the old crops. Focus on God. Let's just pray. And I want to take the time to open up the floor for discussion, even for those of you that watch this online later, or some of you that are part of your home group or small group, take the time to talk about what I just shared with you. Lord, we thank you for this time and this opportunity you've given us to share this word with your family. Thank you, Lord God, for showing us your heart concerning Shemitah. And even though here in America, most of the emphasis gets put on us being released and us being blessed, God, we thank you for showing us the more mature, balanced point of this year that you have us in. And that is, we are blessed to be a blessing. And we pursue you, Lord God. And you really, it is you that's telling us to go back through the old crops and to eat up those old crops. It is you that have caused me and Carol's jobs to come to this place where now we must trust you completely. It's all been you. And so we say yes and amen. We don't know what the future holds, but we know you hold the future. So we're trusting you, Lord God. And we thank you for giving us an opportunity to lead out in this as pastors in this community, to lead out in releasing others. Yes, Lord God. So, Lord, we forgive and we release those that have harmed us, hurt us, offended us, disappointed us. We release them. We let them go. We hold no grudge against them. Yes, Lord God. And we open up our field for all to partake of. You told us since we've been here to do this one, Lord. Actually, for us, you've had us in this Shemitah lifestyle. Lord, so we don't sell the books. We don't sell the DVDs. We haven't been selling any of the produce. You've been telling us to give it away. And so, Lord, we just continue in that. We give it away freely. We open up our hearts and our lives, our very home. We give it away freely for people to come and partake of our lives. And Lord, we take a breather from all of the, well, you didn't give us much of a choice from the jobs, but Lord, we intentionally focus and pursue you. And we, Lord, we know and we trust that you're going to make us an example of what will happen to any man or woman who will trust you at this level and pursue you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord.